Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Good morning. Welcome back. I'm Nadine Dorries and you're with Talk TV. Today we learn that anti-Semitic incidents increased to record levels last year. Why is Britain so full of hate? Tell me your experiences. Give us a call on 0344 499 1000, text on 87222 or tweet us on X at Talk TV. With me today to run through all of today's top stories are head of news at the News Movement, Rebecca Hudson, known as Becca informally, and former senior military intelligence officer Philip Ingram. So before we broke for the news and weather, we had a caller phone in the studio called Nicola, who was talking about the slogan that was painted across the railway bridge in the main road in across the main road in Golders Green. And that slogan was painted within hours, if not days, I think, of the Hamas attack at crossing the border, slaughtering 11, capturing hostages, murdering 1,200 Israeli citizens. And the caller said that that slogan, which said Free Palestine, I think we've got it on the screen, was not anti-Semitic. It was about supporting Palestine and saying Free Palestine. I made the counterpoint that the slogan being painted at the same time as Hamas were attacking Israel was inflammatory and vexatious. And because it was painted on a bridge across a road of a Jewish community was therefore anti-Semitic. What do you guys think? Philip, what's your point of view on that?
Well, I think it all is in the perception of the target audience that's there. And the target audience in that area was clearly the Jewish community. And if the Jewish community find that insulting, then it is insulting, no matter what anyone else thinks. You know, it is affecting people and therefore is anti-Semitic in its output. If local community individuals didn't feel it was insulting, they didn't feel it was anti-Semitic, then it's not. But it's quite clear they did. And the timings were such that, you know, it came in. It was deliberately put there to try and inflame.
So any sensible person would say that was anti-Semitic because it was done with intention to frighten, alarm. And as I said earlier in the programme, having visited at the time myself Golders Green, which is somewhere where I used to live on the border with Hendon, where I used to live years ago, the atmosphere on the streets was one of fear. It was sinister. There were plainclothes police everywhere. I mean, it was obvious. It was shocking to me that I was stood on a British street in London and felt so frightened. Mm. Rebecca, what do you think about the slogan?
I completely agree. I think it's deliberately provocative. It was done at a time of great sensitivity. You know, lots of people who live in Golders Green will have had relatives in Israel at the time who were probably absolutely terrified about, you know, are they OK? Were they in the kibbutz? Were they at the festival? We have to remember that one of the sites that Hamas attacked was a festival full of young people having the time of their lives on a long weekend. You know, this was needlessly cruel and inhumane what happened. And I think to do that was just the slippery slope. You know, sure, you can criticise Israeli government policy, you can criticise the behaviour of the IDF, you can also have a huge amount of sympathy and solidarity with the people of Gaza. All of that is legitimate. But to paint that slogan at the time they did and the place that they did, when that community would have been feeling so vulnerable, is inexcusable. And of course it has to come under the definition of anti-Semitism because the people in that community, they felt like it was a hateful act.
Yeah. Well, So that bridge spans Golders Green, the main road in Golders Green, and that's the constituency of Mike Freer, who is Conservative MP and Justice Minister. And Mike's with us on the line now. So, Mike, I'm going to ask you, what's your reaction to the news about the record number of anti-Semitic incidents last year? But I want to ask you first, how are you? You've announced you're standing down. You've been through a horrendous time. Can I ask, how is Angelo as well? Because, you know, he's your husband and he must be really suffering through this too.
He's happier now as I've made my decision. I mean, certainly, before we come on to the topic we're talking about today, is after the Ali Habibi incidents, he made it plain he didn't really want me to carry on. But it was my decision. But then after the arson attack on Christmas Eve, he very much made it very obvious that he said, you're done. And there was, even trying to talk him down was getting nowhere. So sadly, had to take a decision to step away from being Member of Parliament, which can, as you know, can be the most rewarding job. But we'll see what the future holds. It's the most amazing constituency. But as you've talked already, the level of tension in the constituency has never been higher. And these incidents are not innocent. It is not legitimate debate to paint Free Palestine in the middle of an area full of kosher shops and at the heart of the British Jewish community. It is not innocent to drive down Golders Green Road waving Palestinian flags. The flag is not itself illegal, but the actions are designed to intimidate the local community. And no other religious community in the country needs security guards on their supermarkets, not to stop people shoplifting, but to keep their shoppers safe. No other schools need security guards. No other religious premises need security guards, panic buttons, safe rooms. And this is the state that our Jewish community have to put up with, and it has to stop and it has to change.
We were discussing earlier in the programme, traditionally, the hate used to come from the far right, the supposed far right. But now it was described to me that using the word Jew-hating is the best way to put it because it says what it is. It's coming from a number of sources now. It's coming from as a result of Hamas's attack. It's coming from various other communities. It's not like the Jewish communities only have one place to look to deal with the hate that comes their way, which was the far right associated with Nazi Germany. It's now coming at them from a number of directions.
Mm. Yeah. And I think what's also fueled it, a number of things, and obviously the Corbyn years did, if you like, unleash anti-Semitism. It did make it respectable. And we've not been able to put that genie back in the bottle. It's also fueled by social media. And I've said this before, that you can see things online now that you should not be able to see. And social media companies either don't or are too slow to take that content down. You make a complaint to a social media company, I get abusive stuff on Instagram, I've made complaints, nothing happens. They really need to step up and realise that their current way of operating is no longer acceptable. Freedom of speech is not the same as freedom to hate and freedom to intimidate. And also beyond that is there's an element now of a part of our population that they see things online, it must be true. We need to be ensuring people are taught to check their facts. So just because it's on TikTok doesn't mean it's true. Find out the truth. And then the other thing I think is a fundamental issue is visible deterrent policing. My local police have been amazing at looking after me, but I see things in the demonstrations. I watch it on the news. I see the photographs in the newspaper, and I see them not being arrested on the spot. And when you challenge the commissioner, I'm told, oh, well, we don't want to cause a riot. We take video evidence. We arrest them at a later date. That's not good enough. People need to see if you step over the line, you are arrested. Whether you're another demonstrator seeing what happens to someone else alongside you or whether you're watching on television, you need to see the police acting at that time and lifting you off the street immediately. Then people will get the message that this behaviour is not acceptable and it's criminal.
And do you think the behaviour or the lack of action from the police is contributing to the regular Saturday protests that we're having now? Because people feel that they can do this and there'll be no consequences for their actions. They can put whatever stickers they want on their body and about their person, and no one's going to challenge them, and they won't be arrested for it. Is that there are no consequences to taking to the streets and chanting hate on those Saturday marches?
Yep.
And do you think that's deliberately definitely contributing?
Absolutely, absolutely, because people can see, they know they can get away with it. The level of arrests are small compared to the number of people clearly overstepping the mark. I go back, I'm old enough to remember the IRA bombings in central London. We would not have allowed people to walk down central London dressed as an IRA terrorist. They'd have been arrested on the spot, and yet we allowed people to walk the streets of London dressed as a Hamas terrorist. We allowed people to wave placards encouraging the Houthis to attack British shipping. This is simply not acceptable. It is not democracy where you are threatening violence and intimidation or encouraging others to do so.
So, Mike, to that point, we saw, I think it was on Sunday or Monday evening, 100 demonstrators outside the constituency house of the home of Tobias Elwood, and they were chanting, Yemen, Yemen, turn the boats around. They were actively chanting and supporting the Houthi attacks on shipping, which has a dire effect on our economy. And the police stood for 3 hours and watched them. Now, this is police operation. And as you know, police and crime commissioners have no impact, no authority over how the police handled their operational matters. But their reason is that if they just contain it, they let people have their say, they will go home, there will be no violence, no incidents, that the police will be protected, there'll be no harm to anyone, and it will move on. Do you think that's a rational point that the police have in terms of the way they manage and...
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
And handle these demonstrations operationally?
No, I think that it is legitimate to... There's 2 points there, Nadine, if I may. One, it's legitimate to demonstrate outside Parliament, outside an MP's office, within boundaries. I don't think it's legitimate to demonstrate outside a member of Parliament's family home. It's not fair on their family, let alone that level of intimidation that Tobias's family must have felt is just beyond the pale. But my understanding is that the police basically told the demonstrators how to demonstrate lawfully. I don't believe that that was lawful. If you are glorifying terrorism, borderline incitement, then I expect people to be arrested on the spot. I was certainly brought up that if you broke the law, certainly in view of a police officer, you were arrested there and then, no doubt about it. And some of these actions are encouraging and glorifying acts of terror. And I always thought that was an offence. And in that case, I'd have expected the police to make arrests on the spot, not just encourage them to go home and behave themselves.
It's a good point, Mike, and I'd love to know how many of those people were arrested at that demonstration outside Tobias Elwood's home. Mike, it's been lovely to speak to you and to see you again.
Good to see you.
Please give my love to Angelo. And
will do.
And good luck. I hope I see you again one day, but good luck for your future.
Okay. Thank you, Nadine.
So, I found it interesting that he drew that distinction between somebody's right to protest, which, of course, is fundamental to democracy in the UK, but how people are actually overstepping the line and the police are not taking action when they do that. Becca, what's your take on that?
Yeah, I think that that is really interesting, isn't it? And I think, you know, regardless of whether you agree with the marches at the weekend, or any march, in fact, that is one of the most brilliant things about this country, is that we are able to assemble, we're able to protest. But very clearly, there are things that are happening on these marches, the placards, some of the chanting. I think you make the great point about people being allowed to dress as Hamas members. Which just kind of blows my mind that that's kind of seen as some sort of progressive cause. And very clearly, the police don't have the resources or the inclination to deal with it, because it is easier, isn't it, to let these people kind of do their thing, have their hours of march, assemble outside an MP's home, which I found those photos and I thought the footage from that was really disturbing, and how awful for his family. It's easier to do that, isn't it, than to sort of wade in and police. And actually, it lets down the cause of the people who are legitimately on that, on those marches, because they care about the humanity of the people in Gaza. You know, I think we're all deeply uncomfortable with, you know, what's happening to the 2.3 million people, you know, the lack of aid, you know, the impact it's having on women and children. You can very, that's a legitimate cause that we should be concerned about, but it gets hijacked by this fringe amount of people who want to turn this into something more hateful, and that is where the police do need to intervene. And maybe it makes for a bit more paperwork and it's a bit more uncomfortable, but it protects the right to protest in a way than rather than just letting everyone run riot, I think.
So, you know, we've had a number of MPs murdered in recent years. In fact, we don't talk about one who was, I think it was Paul Goggins, who was, it was a Liberal Democrat MP years ago in Cheltenham. I'm really dragging the back of my memory here. It was in Cheltenham. It was in a Liberal Democrat constituency office. It was a Liberal Democrat MP. Somebody came in with a machete and tried to murder him, but in fact they murdered the councillor who was protecting him. So that figure is never quoted, but it was, you know, it could have been three, but it was actually two MPs and a councillor. And now we've had Mike Freer's office burnt down and Tobias Elwood's house protested out of it. It seems to me as though that's two incidents in a number of weeks. So, Philip, do you think we're going to see... Do you think this could be a coordinated attack on MPs, those MPs who didn't vote for a Gaza ceasefire? Do you think that could be what's happening?
I don't see it as a coordinated attack. I don't see there's a big organisation behind this that's targeting individuals to go and attack MPs. If it did, we've got another worrying level of terrorism on our streets. Mm-hmm. And we're not getting that out of counter-terror police and the security service, who are on top of a lot of this. But what we are doing is stimulating lone actors or groups of lone actors to come together. And all it takes is one individual to go over the edge and to take it one step too far. And that's what we're seeing with, you know, the attacks that have happened on Joe Cox or David Amos and others, where that's come in. And we have to be cognizant that the more people see the lack of police activity to arrest individuals immediately, the more they feel emboldened that they can do it slightly further, do it slightly bigger, and the more it's going to encourage it, then the greater the chance of this happening. And your MPs have to engage with their constituents. They have to be in a place where they can have easy access to. That's a very difficult security dilemma.
It's actually a nightmare. And I've just been told that the name of the MP in Cheltenham who was attacked with a machete was Nigel Jones, and it was actually his councillor who was sat next to him who was murdered. You know, I'm coming to the opinion, I found it very difficult to hold face-to-face surgeries. I did them, so I used to visit constituents in their home, and you probably, oh, that's even more dangerous, but they were well vetted and we knew what the problem was, and I almost went with the answer ready in the folder because I'd researched it before I got to them, particularly the elderly and the disabled. Because actually I found it became very frightening in the latter time of my time as an MP to hold. We had a couple of incidents. I had to have police at the surgery, you know, and it seemed bizarre that I needed to be flanked by police to hold a surgery due to, you know, something that had happened. And, you know, I've discovered that lots of MPs now won't hold their surgeries unless they've got police in attendance. That's an incredible use of police resources and time. And they're usually community support officers, and they're usually very young. And, you know, nobody would want those community support officers to become the person who was sat next to Nigel Jones. It does make you worry where we're going, because year by year it begins to get worse. Who would want to become an MP, you know? Who would now? I really wanted to in 2005. Would I want to today? I don't think I would. And it seems to me as though what we're facing now with the evolving situation globally, as though it's a job and a profession, but a vocation that fewer and fewer people will want to take up. I mean, people like Mike, he's thrown in the towel. Mm-hmm. You know, my safety, the safety of my family, my office being burned down, it could have been his home. Mm-hmm. And it's I don't think we talk about the human element of this.
And it's not just the human impact on the MP themselves. You know, you can argue you're putting yourself in the public domain. Well, that's no excuse for any hate activity whatsoever. But it's the attacks on the families. Mm-hmm. And it's the way that then things are drilled down into the minute detail. It gets terrible. It really is shocking. And it's a very sad reflection of where society is going.
You know, I said yesterday on the show, I had a situation where I had a stalker for 9 years, put a camera up on the telegraph pole opposite my home, where my 14-year-old daughter was at home when I was in Westminster late voting. They were watching her in the house on a camera. It's just, you know, I don't think people see the other side sometimes of what MPs do have to go through with what... And his excuse was, she's my MP, I'm in the public domain, I'm just scrutinising her. Anyway, time for your texts and tweets. Today we learned that anti-Semitic incidents increased to record levels last year. I want to know, why is Britain so full of hate? Tell me your experiences. Anna says, and thank you, Anna, hate for Jews or any group is disgusting, but genuine criticism should not be conflated with hate. That's a very relevant point. And actually, when hate is in abundance as it is at the moment, that does happen as a consequence. Mike says the UK has been taught to hate straight white males without consequences. So pivoting from that mindset to anti-Semitism is as easy as changing your trousers. And Rob says, I'd be interested to know where this hate stems from. Some of you have also been getting in touch on the phones. Keep those calls coming in. Let's go to Carol in Cornwall. Hello, Carol.
Oh, hello, Nadine. What I want to say is, yes, what's happening to MPs is absolutely appalling, and anti-Semitism is rife, I'm afraid, in this country and elsewhere. What I want to talk about is what nobody else seems to want to talk about, and that is the constitution of Hamas and Hezbollah and Iran and those of the same terrorist mindset. It's not just the Jews in Israel they want to eradicate. It's the Jews worldwide. And then they go on to say about the infidels. So you see people like me and other people living in this country, and they're not thinking forward. They're going to come for you. And the thing is that Israel is fighting our battle. And we are not looking forward. We have a number of, I think, probably tens and tens of thousands of Islamists in this country. And it is a very, very dangerous situation. And we are not planning for it. And we are not dealing with it. And I do not want to become like Sweden, which is now a basket case. And where you have Islamists standing up on air saying, give us 15 years and Sweden is ours.
Gosh. Well, Carol, that's a very sobering thought.
But it happens to be true.
I am sure it is. So on the point of what they want to eradicate Jews from Israel and everywhere, what they want to do is, and this is why it's so difficult to rationalise with these people, is that they actually say as part of their reason for doing their objectives is we want to wipe Israel off the face of the earth. Mm. That is the objective of Hamas. And it's impossible to negotiate with an organisation, a terrorist organisation, which has that as their prime objective. What you're talking about is the secondary objective, which is to eradicate Jews worldwide. But it is a very disturbing situation. Thank you so much, Carol. Lovely to hear from you.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.